Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Whoop, whoop. Good Wednesday morning, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Hope you're having a great week as well. There are plans in place for baseball. Start by as soon as early July. Every day, there seems to be a little bit more good news out there, guys. I'm more optimistic each day we move forward.
Well, it's coming.
I have breaking news, gentlemen. Breaking news.
Hang on.
ABC sets Disney Family Sing-Along Volume 2 for Mother's Day. That's right. If you missed Disney Family Sing-Along Volume 1, don't worry, baby. Volume 2 is available, and it's going to be happening on Mother's Day weekend, which I believe is May 10th this year. May 10th.
Nice.
You know what Mother's Day is, man?
What'd you say?
You don't know what Mother's Day is?
It's always May 10th in Mexico.
It's always May 10th in Mexico.
Wait, it's not always on a Sunday in Mexico?
No, it's always May 10th. Dia de Mayo.
All right. So like on Wednesday, you could be like, sorry, Mom, I got a meeting?
Can't get those flowers May 10th. To your place. Sorry.
You set the meeting aside.
The fact that you said you think it's May 10th, that's why I said you don't know.
Well, Mother's Day will be a little different this year. The brunches and everything else, that you're going to have to come up with some little backyard brunch or something you're going to have to put together yourself, because the local place that we would all like to go, whatever that one would be in your neighborhood, it's shut down for the time being.
Well, we might just venture down your way and take over.
Well, hopefully by then, May 10th, you know, the stay at home is supposed to go till May 15th, so we'll see. Hopefully,
not in your county, right?
Well, no, because they did say down here that while they're putting some things in motion to get ready, that they're not going to have any rules that violate state or federal law. So if the state is saying April or May 15th, then they're going to have to wait till then. But they can have some other things in place that once you do get a go-ahead, they can go.
Okay. All right. You guys are doing things
different. I know you're optimistic to come down and hang out with me, Key, but we might have to wait a couple more weeks.
Y'all don't want me down there anyway, at least.
Oh, I do. I do. I want to go hang out at the club again. What are you talking about?
I ain't been to the club in a minute. The club gonna be clean and spotless.
It's gonna be.
Yeah, look, I've never been more excited to go back into a hotel in my life. I mean, nobody's been in any of these rooms in 2 months. It's gonna be pristine.
It could sit
nice and pristine and crispy.
Let's just hope that they cleaned them in them 2 months, though.
Oh, God.
Because they furloughing a lot of hotel people, got furloughed or laid off, or you know, so. You got to make sure that they keep somebody around at the time that before the layoffs, that they at least clean the rooms and they made them nice and clean before they left.
I would think so. Hopefully they did that. The once over, got it nice, locked the door, and then that's it. And then right before I check in, they go and they freshen it up, dust everything off, and we're ready to go. We'll see. Well,
hopefully.
Fingers
crossed. You know,
we'll
see. Just easing back into it.
If nothing else, we got a Disney sing-along coming up on Mother's Day. So that's good news. Let's talk a little bit about the baseball plan. The new baseball plan, and it changes pretty rapidly, is that baseball would split into three divisions. Basically, and there's a couple of exceptions. The Pirates are one of the exceptions, and the Atlanta Braves are the other. But basically what you're taking is you're taking the American League and National League East. You're making one division, doing the same in the Central, doing the same in the West. You're combining these into like kind of mega divisions. So the Astros and the Dodgers and the A's and the Rockies and the Angels and the Mariners would all be in the same division. And they would that limits travel. It limits your exposure in other places. And then you come together for some sort of playoff format at the end. I know that there are problems with all of these different plans, but this one seems as likely as any of the other ones to come together.
It is. They've been working on, remember I said to you, they've been working on multiple things. When we start talking about Arizona, right, it was like they all of a sudden they worked on this in 2 days and they got an answer for what they want to do in Arizona. They've been working on stuff since this first happened. I mean, they've already said to themselves that if this doesn't go, we got to do this. If this doesn't go, we're going to do this. And even if they don't do it the way that it's being reported out there right now with the two leagues in West Coast and Central, you heard Jeff Passan say that this probably not going to happen. They're going to – because they've already tipped him off on something else that they think about that they're likely to do.
Let me jump in real quick. We'll come back to this. But as promised, we're joined right now by a Hall of Famer, a 12-time All-Star, a 2-time NBA champion, a 5-time All-NBA player. Isaiah Thomas joins us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Isaiah, good morning. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
What's happening, Zeke?
Very good.
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
Man, I'm good. Just staying safe. Let's say that. I would love to get out into the world every single day and move around like normal, but I also know that that's not what it is right now, so I'm just trying to stay safe, like to get sports back on the air. But while we got you on the air, want to ask you a few questions about your days in Detroit versus the Chicago Bulls, obviously, and then also the state of basketball and where it's at now. But let's start with this. The Michael Jordan thing, which has been a hot topic, obviously. The Detroit Pistons made a decision not to shake hands after you guys, I guess we'd call it an upset of the Chicago Bulls, that you and Lambeer and the rest of the gang said, well, you know what, we ain't shaking their hands. That this is still, after all this time, still being brought up and still to a degree hunting Michael Jordan.
You know, I look back on that time, literally like 30 years ago, and I find it interesting and unique that, you know, this topic is still out here today, because I think all of us, and especially, you know, myself, you know, having to do that all over again, I think we probably would, well, we definitely, I know I would handle it differently. But just to contextualize and give you, you know, some background in terms of how we were feeling at that time, and how those decisions came to be, you know, Jordan and the Bulls, were up on us in the series, 3-0. And clearly they were, you know, had become the better team at that point in time. And the day before game four, there was a press conference, and, you know, he said some things about us being undeserving as champions, that we weren't good for the game of basketball. And also, you know, about the city itself. And I think, you know, during that period of time, all of us, you know, in that emotionally charged state, after getting beat soundly by them, Lambeer said, hey, we're not shaking their hands. And some shook their hands, some didn't. And, you know, I definitely, you know, have paid a price for that moment, that lapse in judgment. And had I had a chance to do it all over again, I'm sure we would make a better decision. But at that time, we didn't make a good decision, or at least I didn't.
Well, Zeke, let me ask you this, though. Why do you feel not shaking a hand is a bad decision? Like, I don't understand that, because me as a player, if I don't want to shake your hand, the game is over. We done did what we did. We'll catch each other in the hallway. I'll talk to you when I see you at the club or at dinner. I don't need to have that conversation right now in an emotional state. Why is that such a problem?
Well, it's a problem because we on the phone talking about it now. and for me personally, it appears that I paid a heavy price for that lapse in judgment during that moment. The price that it appears that I have paid for it was not making the dream team and being selected on the Olympic team, which in 1980, I was on the Olympic team that was actually boycotted. And I wanted to play in the Olympics. And if that's the reason why I'm not on the team, and didn't make the team, then that lapse in judgment was costly for me. That's why I say personally, I've paid a heavy price for that mistake, if that's the reason why I wasn't on the team.
Let me ask you this, though, Zeke, real quick.
I was really shocked. I was going to ask you,
do you solely think that Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, because I'm going to say the Chicago Bulls because those two were on it, that they were the reason that you did not be elected to the Dream Team, just those two alone?
You know, I've never pointed a finger at anybody, and I've heard rumors, and I've heard all kind of innuendos. But you know, you and I kind of from like the same neighborhoods, and I take a man at his word. And anytime I've been around any of them, you know, especially Michael, he and I have had dinner before. You know, he's always been good to my family whenever we've been out and interacted. I've never had a moment of him where there was discomfort, you know, outside of the playing field. So I can't blame anybody. I'm not trying to blame anybody. I just know what I've heard and what everybody else has heard. And if they felt that way, you know, then say it.
Understood.
Zeke, you were the coach of the All-Star game for Michael Jordan's last All-Star appearance. I was in Atlanta covering that game, and a lot of scuttlebutt was that you were trying to make sure that Michael got the starting position over Vince Carter as an honor of respect. What was your conversation with Michael at that time when you were essentially the coach and he was the player? Was it already squashed by then, or did you have to go and have some sort of conversation to resolve the background?
Well, that's why, you know, what's happening today, I am totally surprised by, you know, his reaction and why we're having this conversation. Because, yes, in Atlanta, when I was the coach of the All-Star team and you asked me what was our conversation, if you remember that time, Vince Carter was voted to be a starter in an All-Star game, and it was Michael Jordan's last All-Star game. And I thought it would be appropriate for Jordan to start in his last All-Star game. So I remember having extensive conversations with Vince Carter and letting Vince Carter know what I had did for Dr. J when Dr. J was voted as a starter in his last All-Star game, and I was. I gave up my starting spot so Dr. J could start in the last All-Star game that he played in. And I asked Vince Carter to do the same for Michael Jordan. And I think Michael Jordan was very appreciative of that. And throughout the game, as you can see, we did our best to make sure Jordan played well, looked well. And, you know, with the exception of, you know, Jermaine O'Neal fouling Kobe Bryant on the last shot, you know, Jordan makes the last shot of the game, he wins the All-Star game, and you know, it's another fairy tale story. So we never had any bad interactions during that period of time. Like I say, he was very nice to my son, gave my son, you know, his gym shoes, took a photograph with us. You know, he was good. So I don't know where all this is coming from today. That's why I'm a little off balance about it.
Yeah, Isaiah, with that in mind, and we're talking with Isaiah Thomas on the Sprint People's Hotline. When you were watching the film, the way we all are, The Last Dance, it's running on Sunday night, and you see Michael say what he said about you, did it catch you by surprise? Did you think that you'd gotten past a lot of this stuff for all the reasons you mentioned, him treating your family well, you guys going for dinner, the All-Star game? Had you thought that was stuff that was in the rearview mirror? Were you surprised to see it so raw?
Yeah, I was. I think all of us, you know, looking at that moment, and especially, you know, because we're all here at home. So, you know, all family, you know, we're sitting around and we're watching it because we're enjoying it too. You know, we're getting a chance to peek behind the curtain of another team, of an opponent that you never really got a chance to really peek behind the curtain. And when we saw the reaction and the name that he called me, we were all surprised and frankly a little hurt.
Isaiah, when you look back at it in all of your years in Detroit and going up against Boston or going up against the Lakers or even Chicago, out of all these teams, which one you resent the most? Which one of these teams you resent the most?
You know, when you have to say resent and love in the same.
We resent you out here in L.A. We don't love the Detroit Pistons. Just want you to know.
Yeah, I understand, but this is where I'm going, and you as a champion understand this, right? The team that teaches you the most is the team that beats you the most. The Boston Celtics, for us, they were a huge obstacle to overcome. And we had some heartbreaking moments against them. But at the same time, they were also great teachers, because had it not been for the Boston Celtics, the Pistons, we never would have became what we became. And had it not been for the Lakers, we never would have became what we became. And I learned a lot from Magic Johnson, watching him play and also playing against him, competing against him. I learned a lot from Larry Bird and the Celtics, watching him play and competing against them. I learned how to be a champion in the NBA. Now, there's a difference between being a great player in the NBA and being a champion in the NBA. I learned how to be a champion by some of those tough lessons that I had to learn along the way, along the journey. And so, yeah, I resented it at the time, but I also love it now, because had it not happened, I never would have became a champion.
Zeke, I had an opportunity to talk with Magic earlier this week about a whole litany of conversations. And one of the things we talked about was St. Cecilia in Detroit, and how all the greats, even in the NBA and ABA, would still come to this gym in Detroit to prove that they were still among the greats. When you hear people talk about, you know, today's players are fraternizing too much, from your experience, do you think that's a fair criticism based upon, as I said, this gym and others that guys would come to who were on different teams?
I think that's a false narrative out there about us as a basketball community and the way we've always interacted with each other as a basketball community. And I can remember vividly listening to Bill Russell talk about how he would invite Wilt Chamberlain to his house, and they would have dinner together, and they would break bread, and then they would go out on the floor and compete. And we can compete without you know, saying I hate you and all this other stuff. Now, we can hate you on the field. You know, Magic and I, we would kiss, and during the game, he shot me with an elbow right upside the head, right? And then after that, we go out to dinner. So you can compete, and I'm just saying that for us as a basketball community, for us as a sports community, all of us can compete at the highest level without necessarily hating our brothers. And that's how I've always approached it. You've never heard us say anything bad about the Chicago Bulls in terms of their personhood. Now, in terms of, they may have not liked our style of play. We may have not liked the way they played, or the way Oakley hit me going down the lane, or Cartwright hit me going down the lane. You know, but you've never heard us talk bad about their personhood. Once it gets into that, you know, then we into another lane that none of us really go into.
Isaiah Thomas is a Hall of Famer joining us here on the morning show. Isaiah, really appreciate you coming on this morning. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Zeke, man.
Thank you, Zeke.
Hey, you're welcome, and thank you. And y'all stay safe out there. Love you.
Yeah, you do the same.
Go Lakers.
All right. Well, guys, there's a ton there. There's a ton there. We'll come back. We'll discuss what we just heard talking with Isaiah Thomas. That's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, so let's start right here. And as I was listening to him talk and answer the questions that we were asking him, it feels to me, and that's why I asked the question that I did, that why were you surprised by it, caught by surprise. It feels to me, listening to Zeke say it, that he thought that this stuff was in the past, that he thought that because Michael Jordan and he had dinner and the All-Star game, that stuff that you brought up, LZ, the fact that he gave his sneakers to one of his kids, that they were okay, that they'd gotten past this stuff. And then he flips on The Last Dance like the rest of us and gets called what Michael Jordan called him. It's like, whoa, you can hear it. He said, he goes, I was hurt by it. You can hear it in his voice.
You can't yeah, hear absolutely. It in his voice. He certainly was hurt by it, but at the same time, you can't have – look, okay, you heard rumors. You heard these sort of things. I get it, all of that, about what was said, what took place, what happened. So certainly on the other side, whether it's Magic Johnson, because as a kid – as a teenager, I heard the rumors that Zeke said some negative stuff about Magic. Magic's on the team. You and Jordan don't get along because you guys used to beat Jordan, then you didn't shake the hands when they beat y'all. So you can't expect to have it both ways. All of a sudden, everybody's against you, and it's wrong the way they did you, but doing the things that you did wasn't wrong to them and didn't hurt their feelings. It's the way I look at it.
Well, I think the point being, though, is that, you know, to the point of the All-Star game, that handshake situation had happened years prior, like over 10 years before the handshake incident happened. So now you're at the All-Star game. You're his coach. You're hanging out. You're advocating for him to be a starter.
But not the All-Star game. Remember, LZ, in sequence, though, it went Pistons Olympics All-Star game. So
no, I understand it. That's why I said over a decade had passed since the handshake incident. You're now the coach. You're advocating for him to be a starter.
That's on you, though.
Respect for you. Let me finish. You do all this stuff in terms of reaching out to Olive Branch, and the guy gives you no indication that he's still mad. In fact, it looks as if he gave you all the indication that the beef was behind you. And so then you fast forward 10 to 15 more years, and then this is being said, and you got to look back going, now, wait, all this time that we could have talked about this, if you were still mad, you didn't, or we didn't. And now that you're in your house and have this documentary and you have everyone's attention, you want to say things about me when we had all these 20, 30 years of interacting with each other as coach, as friends, as whatever, and you never brought it up.
Well, I would say this in terms of whether or not he brought it up. We don't know that he brought it, whether or not he brought it up, because Michael ain't said nothing. All we know is that Zeke said that they would seem to be cool. Just because you cool with somebody, just because I don't have a problem with you, don't necessarily mean that other person that you have a problem that don't have a problem with you doesn't have a problem with you. Zeke may not have a problem with Jordan, but Jordan may have a problem with Zeke, and he may just look at it from, okay, I know who you are, but I'm gonna deal with you at this moment in this time, but I also know who you are. You've come into people in your lifetime, LZ and Travis, that's like, okay, I know who you are, but because I have to deal with this, I'm just going to deal with it. But I also know who you are.
It felt to me that there's two different, they're experiencing the same things very differently. That Isaiah is thinking, okay, we got through this. Yeah, I know he's upset about this, but we're in a different place now. And then Michael Jordan was doing what you're describing, Key, which is, look, if I have to deal with you to give your kid a sneaker, fine, whatever. But I'm not going to forget.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Zeke was caught so – it was so impactful for him, because he turns on his TV on Sunday night and Michael Jordan calls him what he calls him. And it's like, wait, what?
He's
still carrying that with him? He still feels that way?
Think about it this way, though, LZ, for me. I'm cool with Warren Sapp. He cool, but at the end of the day.
But you've publicly said that you talked about the fact that you don't necessarily mess with him. You said these things publicly. There's nothing. So if all of a sudden there's a documentary and you say certain things about Warren Sapp, it's not coming out of left field. You've been very public in terms of your overall feelings about him. That's not the same scenario.
But the difference in all of this is you barely hear from Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan doesn't talk to anybody about anything. So you barely hear from him. The difference with me is I'm always on television, on radio, so you see me way more than you see Michael Jordan visibly. And so you're going to get a different reaction. If I had the personality like Mike, where I'm a gazillionaire and I'm staying out the way and I'm not doing nothing, you hear from me every now and then. So now when this comes up, you finally get to hear what it was. Just because you made me a starter in the All-Star game, I didn't ask for it. And I'm in the All-Star game for the NBA. I ain't in the All-Star game for your ass as a coach. You the one made the decision to make me a starter. I didn't ask for you to do that. And then as far as I was concerned, I was happy just coming off the bench because I was doing it for the NBA, not for you. You see the difference?
I certainly see the difference. But I think if you go back and you think about Michael Jordan's enshrinement speech at the Hall of Fame and how that was filled with vengeful talk and vitriol.
Nothing but.
Maybe it shouldn't be that big a surprise that when he has an opportunity to talk about his biggest rival, that perhaps, you know, the person who showed up at the Hall of Fame with holding all these grudges would also be the person in this documentary still holding the grudge.
But I'm not surprised at that. That's not a surprise because that's who MJ is. MJ is not going to forget that you cut me. Like, you cut me as a junior in high school. You tried to derail my career. I'm not going to forget that. You tried to injure me out on the NBA court, and you didn't shake my hands, and you talk bad about my friend, allegedly. So I'm not going to forget that.
There's different moments for different people. King, you just said about Jordan's moments. And Isaiah, clearly, fast forward, you know, 30 years later, that he did not make that Olympic team. You could hear it in his voice. He said it. You know, I was on the 80 yes. team, and we boycotted. We didn't go. 84 and 88, they were still using college players, so he was ineligible. So 92 comes around again. They're putting the pros back into the Olympic mix, and he gets left. I mean, you could hear it. You talk about Michael Jordan still having an open wound for the handshake thing. The Olympic thing, he says, I'm still paying a price for this? That was the price to pay for not shaking hands? That I got left off of one of the most iconic basketball teams in the history of the world? Really? That still eats at him.
Well, that probably would – I guess I would be disappointed if I had a chance to represent my country and for whatever circumstances or reasons come about that I couldn't, whether it was the MJ, the Michael Jordan, the Magic, or just simply I wasn't good enough, but I felt I was good enough to make it, even though he was good enough to make it, but he didn't. I would feel a certain way. Think about it. Has Shaq ever played on an Olympic team?
I'd have to look. Yes. I don't know. I want to say yes, but I don't know.
He played a Dream Team, too.
Did he play on Dream Team? Yeah, I didn't remember. But think about it. He was supposed to be on Dream Team 1, but they took Christian Laettner. And just think if Shaq didn't play in any of the Olympics.
Let's put a pin in this. Hold on.
And just to wrap up the sadness about the Olympics, Isaiah Thomas was supposed to be on Dream Team 2, but he ruptured his Achilles for the final game of his season and wasn't healthy enough to play for the second Dream Team either.
All right, there's more here. We'll hear from Isaiah. Jorge's going to have some cuts for us. We'll hear from what he said. We'll continue to talk about this because just a fascinating conversation with Isaiah Thomas. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back. A 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
All right, so we're continuing our conversation that we had with Isaiah Thomas and about Isaiah Thomas. And, you know, we'll play some of this back for you in just a sec. But you can just tell by the fact that Isaiah is showing up in so many different places, both ESPN and other places, trying to explain where he was in all of this. And I think to Michael Jordan's point, the explanation seems to change a little bit depending on who he's talking to and when he's talking to them. But that he's out there doing as much damage control as he is, I did let you know how much he was hurt by this entire process.
Well, yeah, and I didn't want to get around to – and I wanted to, but we didn't get around to the conversation because I wanted to ask him why on the circus. Let's just, you know, okay, it's over with now. Let's keep it moving. Mike said what he said. Let's just keep it moving instead of the damage control. And maybe it's because he's in television and he's doing stuff and he's active that he feels that he needs to come on shows and talk about it opposed to just kind of, you know, it's been a week now. You know, it's kind of like or close to a week, better yet. You know, still having that conversation about it.
Well, listen, because unlike Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas can't do one interview and have the entire world see it all at once. You know, everyone's looking at The Last Dance. So MJ doesn't have to follow up. Everyone's looking at this one show, but everyone's not watching First Take. Everyone's not listening to this particular radio show, not reading this particular article. So he has to do a little bit more to get his side of the story out there because he doesn't have the luxury of being able to do it once and have it hit everybody.
But I already said what I said. They could pick it up, man. That's all I'm saying. Like, I'm not
gonna it's that his side of the story is always a little different than the last time he told his side of the story. That's what I think is not resonating. I think he would be better served If it was, you know what, did I handle it right back in the Eastern Conference Finals? You know, maybe, maybe not. But the fact that I'm dealing with this stuff 30 years later, man, that dude needs to let it go. If he thinks I'm that, all right, boy, fine, whatever. I guess we're not okay. I guess we never will be. But, man, it's been 30 years. Let it go. I think you would be better served with that.
Take more of the Bill Laimbeer approach is what you're saying.
A little bit. And Laimbeer's basically saying, I didn't regret it then, I don't regret it now. If Isaiah could kind of split the difference with I wish I hadn't done it, but that dude needs to let it go. Because let's take a listen to this. Here's Isaiah with us a few minutes ago talking about getting left off that Olympic team. And you can still hear how much it bothers him, even though we're talking about it 30 years after the fact.
I think all of us, looking at that moment, and especially, because we're all here at home. So, all family, we're sitting around and we're watching it because we're enjoying it too. You know, we're getting a chance to peek behind the curtain of another team, of an opponent that you never really got a chance to really peek behind the curtain. And when we saw the reaction and the name that he called me, we were all surprised and frankly a little hurt.
Okay, very quickly, that's the other one. I want to go to the Olympic one real quick where he's talking about it, because this is the jump off point where he felt that this is the reason that he was left off, and it's still bothering Isaiah 30 years later. Let's listen to that one. Okay, we're going to get to that in a second. Let's pick it up right there, guys. Well, go ahead, Jorge, play the Olympic one. That he's still hurt by all of this, that he's still shocked by what he heard. I think he's going to fight a losing battle. He's got to just kind of own it and move forward.
Well, yeah, he definitely needs to just say, issue an apology, which I'm pretty sure he has. And then he's got to move forward and let it go. The Olympic thing wasn't even really about Jordan as much as it was just the overall experience. As he went through the timeline, first go round, we boycott, the United States boycott that Olympics. And then the next 2 years, he's not eligible because he's a professional basketball player. Then there's Dream Team 1, in which he's left off. Dream Team 2 was supposed to make amends, but he ended up rupturing his Achilles and his career is over. So it's like every single time there was he could have gotten an Olympic gold medal, something happened that, prevented that from occurring. And the Dream Team really mattered because it wasn't just about the Olympics. It was also about saying these 12, 13, 14 players or whatever, these players here mean a great deal to the game of basketball. And Isaiah Thomas absolutely was in that conversation, certainly more so than some of the other guys who were on that Dream Team. It was Bird, Magic, Jordan. But right after that, Isaiah Thomas was in that next tier. Certainly above Karl Malone and John Stockton, who hadn't even made it to a finals at that point. Above Clyde Drexler, you could argue. Obviously Christian Laettner. So when you look at the construction of the team in terms of what they meant to the game of basketball, Isaiah Thomas absolutely should have been on that GP alone.
But decisions, ultimately, his consequences that go with that, in his choices, and he made decisions and consequences came, and he made a choice to do whatever he did, and at the end of the day, they elected to not have him be a part of the Dream Team, and they moved on from it.
We got the cut key. Let's listen to Isaiah talk about how much it bothers him still to this day that he was left off that team.
And for me personally, it appears that I paid a heavy price for that lapse in judgment during that moment. And the price that it appears that I have paid for it was not making the Dream Team and being selected on the Olympic team, which in 1980, I was on the Olympic team that was actually boycotted. And I wanted to play in the Olympics. And if that's the reason why I'm not on the team and didn't make the team, then that lapse in judgment was costly for me. That's why I say personally, I've paid a heavy price for that mistake. If that's the reason why I wasn't on the team,
but I don't believe that that's the only reason why he wasn't on the team. I believe there's a collective few things that went on that made the decision for whoever to say, never mind, because right now this dude is more important to basketball than you. And if he wants you not on the team, or they don't want you on the team, then therefore you won't be on the team.
you nailed it. That, in a nutshell, that's it right there, isn't it? He didn't realize that Michael was the guy that was the gatekeeper to this thing. And if Michael didn't want it, it wasn't going to happen. And if he wanted to get on that team, he needed to make it right with Michael. And he needed to make sure that Michael was okay with it, not that he was okay
trying
with
to give
happened.
Him a trying to give him a all-star but start 10, 15 years later. That ain't – the Olympic team is over dealt with, dog.
Right.
Own it. All I'm saying is own it. If you're MJ and you kept him off the team, if you managed,
I don't. Was that has that ever been? Has that ever been presented to Michael Jordan? Hey, okay. Did you stop Isaiah Thomas from on the Olympic team? Has that ever been presented to him?
We'll come back.
Or the writer scared to ask him that?
Hold on 1 second, Key. We'll come back. We'll finish the conversation about Jordan, but. As promised, we're going to talk with the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. Anthony Lynn joins us next. Chargers had 2 first-round draft picks, took a quarterback and a linebacker. Joining us right now to talk about that is the head coach of the LA Chargers, Anthony Lynn, joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. Hey, I was just listening in on you guys talking about that Michael Jordan documentary. Yeah, I can't even keep talking about that now.
we're gonna talk about it.
Let's do that. What are your thoughts?
I haven't had a chance to watch it. I'm gonna wait and record all of them, and I'm gonna watch them later. I have to get through this draft, but it was just interesting to hear you guys talk about it, getting your perspective.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Coach Lynn. Do you think that Michael Jordan and whoever else froze Zeke out of the Dream Team 1?
Froze who?
Zeke. Isaiah Thomas.
I don't know. I know in some circles Isaiah wasn't liked. You know, from what I heard. But
yeah.
I don't know. I can't speak on something I don't know.
Okay. Well, when you get a chance to watch the episodes, there are 10 of them, obviously, and you get a chance to watch the sequence of how things, the events, current events went at that time, you'll have a better understanding of why people believe that Michael Jordan kind of froze Zeke out of the Dream Team. And in the meantime, speaking of freezing somebody.
I would say he definitely had the power to, but I'm going to leave it at that.
Yes, that is correct. And speaking of power, you had the power at number 6 to take a quarterback, and you took one in Justin Herbert after Philip Rivers decided that Philip Rivers was no longer. He went on to sign with the Indianapolis Colts. What does Justin Herbert bring to you and the Chargers in the offense?
I'll tell you, he's a highly productive young man, outstanding skill set and intangibles. Key, I just thought, you know, when you're looking for a franchise quarterback and you look at this guy, he played 4 years of college, he's very mature. I just thought he answered a lot of questions, and then I thought he passed every test he took. You know, he stayed in school for 4 years. He led his team to a Rose Bowl victory. And, you know, he went to the Senior Bowl, was MVP there. He went to the Combine, did everything we asked him to do at the Combine. And one of the things that really pissed me off with some of these quarterbacks and just players in general, we travel from all around the country to go to the Combine and watch them perform, and they don't do that. I don't like that, you know. But I
hey.
Like a man that go out there and work and do what he got to do and show us his skill set. And he did that. And then he turned around and did a pro day. So he did everything. And you know, I just liked what he did and how he did it, how he went about his business. And the guys were, he's a winner. You know, and that's what I was looking for.
Coach, when you and I talked and I brought up your QB situation, you told me that you were very secure in Tyrod Taylor being your starting quarterback heading into this season. Now that you've drafted Justin and Cam Newton is still out there and available, are you still in the same place? Are you still thinking Tyrod Taylor is your starting quarterback coming into the season?
No doubt about it. No, I'm very comfortable with Tyrod Taylor. I had him 3 years ago when I was OC, and he's a better quarterback now than he was then. And I think the team knows that. This team, I mean, he is a leader on this football team. He doesn't say a whole lot. He just goes about his business a certain way. But these guys respect the heck out of that young man. And I believe in him, and he believes in himself. And he's definitely in the driver's seat. But like every position, you know, there is competition. And we just brought some competition in for that position. And so we'll see how Justin develops and we'll see where it goes. But and one day I do expect Justin to take over. You know, that's what we drafted him for. But, you know, Easton Stick, you know, that's another kid that we drafted last year in the fifth round of North Dakota State. I mean, all he did was win, you know, three championships, 51-1. I mean, he's a winner. And it's a very professional room, hardworking room. And I believe those guys, you know, Justin's in a good situation, but he's going to grow from two pros. And he's going to learn a lot. But, you know, we think he can be the guy, though.
Anthony Lynn. Excuse me, Key. And take me through the process of what you're talking about. That obviously you like Tyrod Taylor as your starting quarterback, and you're going to go in the season and try to win as many games as you can. But like you said, you drafted him 6th overall in the development process. Take me through the challenge of balancing those things, developing Justin Herbert into your franchise quarterback and having Tyrod Taylor as your starter right now.
Well, I mean, I think you have to be careful bringing in these rookie quarterbacks in our league and playing them so soon, you know. You know, like Patrick Mahomes had the luxury of sitting on the bench for a year and learning, and some guys have the luxury of doing that for 2 years. But like Aaron Rodgers did, Brian Favre. But I don't want to put a timetable on a younger man's development, though. You know, if the young man was ready and he goes out and impress and win the position, and if it's that obvious, then I got to roll with him. But you know, that usually takes some time, to be honest with you. And right now, I'm comfortable with the starter that I have. And I don't have to draft a rookie and throw him in there right now and let him fail and learn and do all. I don't have to do that right now. We can win right now because I have Tyrod Taylor on this team. And that's what I plan on doing. But I just don't want to put a timetable on a young man's development.
Coach Lynn, I know we LZ asked you about Cam Newton and asked you about Tyrod Taylor and the situation as such. Me, on the other hand, I've been an advocate of you drafting a quarterback, keeping Tyrod Taylor, and bringing in a guy like a Cam Newton to get you over the hump. If, in fact, Tyrod Taylor is the answer, then Tyrod Taylor is the answer. But with a guy like Cam who's out there, and I don't know if you guys have talked to him, demands money, whatever the case is, can you bring a third guy in for competition, but yet and still kind of bring Justin Herbert along the way as your number three guy in such due time that you need him to become the starter?
Yeah, you could. I mean, you're talking about bringing in a guy like Cam, who's a franchise quarterback in himself for competition. I mean, yeah, that would be the ultimate competition right there. But you know, you want a certain dynamic in the room, and I'm not saying that Cam doesn't fit. It's just that Easton Stick is a guy that people don't talk a lot about. And he's a guy that we get to watch around here every single day and watch him do what he do. And you know, there's a lot of guys that believe in him as well. Mm-hmm. I think his future is bright in this league. So, you know, I feel like we have a lot of depth at the position right now.
Yes.
We need to bring in another. That's something that's still on the table.
Do you, when you look at where you guys have are as a team in this division, where the Kansas City Chiefs obviously won the Super Bowl, the Raiders are drafting speed. They feel like that they're doing the right things there. The Denver Broncos went out and got receivers. They like their quarterback situation. Where do you think you fit in this division? Are you in the middle right now? Are you the top of the division or the back end of it?
You know, I think right now everybody's 0-0, and that's what I like. I think the division, you know, obviously you got to go through Kansas City. They've won a division, I don't know how many years in a row, and they, like you said, they're the Super Bowl champs. But I like our chances in this division. I really do. I know we're going to take care of the football. You know, last year, and we 31st in the league and turning the ball over, and 32nd and taking it away. Yeah, I mean, you have a hard time beating them out of day, you know.
when you look at it, Coach Lynn,
you know,
when you look at it, Coach, Melvin Gordon held out last year. He's no longer with the team with the Denver Broncos. Eckler stepped up, took control of the running game, got an extension, got a big contract. Melvin Gordon's holdout, did that hurt him last year in terms of his production?
It definitely did not help him, and he would admit to that. You know, Melvin is a workhorse, man, and he shows up, he goes, and the harder he worked, the more confident he is on Sundays. And when he, you know, didn't put the work in and he showed up, he was rusty. And unfortunately, we had to shake some of that rust off in games. You know, you don't shake that rust off in practice. I had to put him in games when maybe he wasn't quite ready. But when he came around, boy, he ran really good. He ran really well. And that's so we missed him early, no doubt about it. And what that does to Austin is it puts a lot on Austin's plate. I like Austin Ekeler in a tandem role. Austin Ekeler would argue with me and say he is an every down back in his league, and I'm not saying that he can't be, but I know how I like to use him. I know when he's at his best is when we're using him in multiple ways, you know, as a receiver and slide and outside and backfield, versus just giving him the ball and let him run between the tackles and on the perimeter and trying to use him in the passing game. So it kind of hurt us in how we ran our offense, not having Melvin early. But, you know, that's you live and learn. You know, he told me, so he'd never do it again.
Coach, you're in a very unique position in the sense that you had a top 10 pick, but universally everyone considers you guys to be a good team, unlike some of the other teams that are in the top 10. How difficult is it to build on that momentum from two seasons ago when you can't be with your guys because of the pandemic right now?
It's hard right now, but we're doing the best we can through Zoom and our virtual meetings. And, you know, that's becoming the new normal. And we're in those meetings every day. And I tell you, just seeing the guy faces on the computer, it's been pretty cool. It's starting to feel like we're in the meetings together. But, you know, every team in this league is good. We all picking from the same talent pool. I don't know how you can say one team's better than, I mean, we're all good. And if you don't go out and take care of your business, or you lose a couple players here and there, you know, a good season can turn into a bad season. And I just think after going 5-11, I mean, if that doesn't motivate your ass, I don't know what will. So I believe that'll bring us together alone, just not accomplishing our goal last year.
Man, all I got to tell them is just ride 35 base. Y'all be all right.
Coach, you know what? I'm going to tell you right now.
When you got Larry Allen and Flozell on that left side, Keith.
Coach, I'm going to let you know, I'm from Detroit. We're not all good. I appreciate you saying that, but we're not all good teams.
Oh, I'm not going to go there, man.
Yeah, Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, joining us here on The Morning Show.
Woo-hoo!
Coach, appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Stay safe. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks a lot, man. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you much.
You got it. All right. So we talked about the development of quarterbacks. What about having a guy that's fully developed and drafting one anyway? That's where the Packers are, and apparently there was a method to the madness. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.